The following is a point of view program. Opinions expressed are those of the participants.
Good evening. This is In Other Words, an hour of programming by and about women from a feminist perspective. I'm Beth Judy. I'm a fan of the Red Ants Pants Festival, coming up on July 24th through 27th in White Sulphur Springs, Montana. This is the fourth annual festival. Red Ants Pants, in case you don't know, is a small company that specializes in sturdy, well-designed work pants for women. The company is also located in White Sulphur Springs in a small storefront on the main drag. I've been to the festival the past 3 years, and not only is it a blast, it's special. Tonight, we'll explore the reasons for that and get behind the scenes of the festival with two women who are probably in very high gear right now making this year's festival happen. My guests are Allie Olson, Red Ants Pants Festival Operations Manager, and Kat Healy, who handles festival press and PR. Allie's on the line from Colorado. Kat speaks to us from Billings. Kat and Allie, thanks for being on In Other Words.
Thanks for having us. Yes, thank you.
I want to get into more introductions soon, find out more about you. But first, if the listener has never been to the Red Ants Pants Festival, I was wondering if you could describe it. And, you know, they say the best pictures are in radio. So paint pictures for us. What does it actually look like? And all through our conversation tonight, if you think of any stories from one year or another of the festival, please feel free to share them. So what does it look like?
Sure, Allie, I can start if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Things that I remember, best sunsets that I've ever seen, and I'm from Montana, so that's saying a lot. It's kind of nestled in between the Big Belt and the Little Belt Mountains. When you come in, White Sulphur is a small town in Montana, and when the festival is there, you will see Westfalia's, Airstreams, campers for as long as you can see. And you get there, and there's sunrise yoga, there are demos, festival demonstrations outside of the great lineup. There's music, a ton of activity, stuff going on everywhere, and just a lot of people, a lot of fun. Allie, do you have anything to add?
Yeah. Well, it really is just a dusty cow pasture.
It's the best what?
It's a dusty cow pasture.
Yes.
The other 360 days of the year, it is in use as part of a ranch. So it's really just out in a big field with, like Kat said, amazing views of the rolling hills. You can see the Castle Mountains from the festival. And up until the festival weekend, it's pretty quiet around those parts. But like Kat said, once the festival starts on Thursday, those cars start rolling in, and it is very busy around there, and lines of Airstreams and RVs and campers, and it's really just quite amazing how the town kind of transforms overnight on that Thursday that the festival starts.
You know, that was one of the reasons I wanted to talk to you guys, because I'm really interested in how this little tiny town transforms, like you said, and how many people come to the Red Ants Pants Festival?
Last year there were 10,500 in attendance. That was our takeaway. And festivals are counted in kind of a weird attendance for tickets. So they count number of tickets for each day in attendance. So if you went to all the days, you would be counted for Saturday and for Sunday and also Friday. So it's kind of a hard thing to say.
Okay. But it is a lot of folks, that's for sure.
A lot of people. Yeah. A lot of people for a town that the county seat of Mar is, I believe it's 900 people.
Okay, so that's usually what it is 900. I'll just add in, you know, from the times that I've been there, it's like you're in the little town. Anywhere you're far away from that cow pasture, you can see it, and it looks kind of like a medieval city or something, you know, kind of a white city because of all the RVs and the tents and stuff, but it's so cool to look and see it. And there's just lots of happy people wandering around the little town. And when I'm in front of the stage, it's so beautiful. I'm just blown away because you just are looking out at the mountains. And there's a campground right next to the stage area. And that's such a good feeling in that campground. Everybody's really happy. There's also a lot of cool women running around in brown pants who you can just bet are official. They look like they have a lot of purpose. And that's because Red Ant's pants are brown. And I also really like how there's a mix of people who come. You know, you've got the cowboy hats and you've got the flip-flops. You've got country chic and you've got old people and young people and everybody's really friendly. And when you mentioned demonstrations, what do you mean by that? Explain what demonstrations are.
Yeah, so the demonstrations are kind of activities that are held on the festival grounds in between the main acts on the stage. And they're really demonstrations that kind of embody the culture of White Sulphur Springs and Montana. So we've had horsemanship demonstrations, and every year we have a timber skills demonstration and then a cross-cutting competition at the end of the weekend, which is a lot of fun. There's been a meat processing demonstration where they showed how they butcher, I mean, the animal is dead, but they show how they slice up the meat and then they're grilling it and serving it to the audience. Sheep shearing demonstrations, so really agricultural based usually, and really interesting. They draw a huge crowd from the audience. So,
can you tell us anything about the demonstrations you're planning for this year?
I can tell you kind of the ones that repeat every year. I don't know a lot of the specific differences, but
okay.
We will always have a cross-cut competition. So that is usually on, I believe it's on Sunday, kind of midday. So people kind of have all weekend long to get ready for it. There's some, usually there's a log set up in the campground where people can practice. And I believe there's another horsemanship demonstration, but Kat might know the specifics more of the ones happening this year.
Sure, and I can pull it up. I think right now we're finalizing the side stage lineup and also doing our grant winners. So the next thing that'll happen will be announcing our demos. But I know last year we had blacksmithing. The kids loved the From Meat to Mouse. Was that what it was called, Allie?
Yes, yep.
And
the Beard Festival.
Oh, yes.
The beard competition.
Beard and Mustache Finals will also be back. Their first year was last year, which was awesome. People had a huge amount of fun with that one. So,
and one of the fun things about the demonstrations is that women are participating just as much as men usually, which is part of the whole Red Ant's Pants thing, right?
Right.
Absolutely. Yes.
Guys that were up for the fashion show, which we do every year, where we have people in pants on the stage, and we had guys, and we had so much fun with it. They were hilarious. We auctioned them off. One of our friends does auctioneering. So they were auctioning off the men that were wearing the pants as well.
And isn't there some saying on your website, and Allie, you do the website too, right? Is that right?
I do, yep.
Isn't there some saying that men are welcome to get into the women's pants?
Yeah, that's kind of a catchphrase of Red Ant's Pants that Sarah came up with from the beginning when she was touring around doing pants parties and oftentimes doing them in bars, you know, kind of around the country, was that the fashion show always ends with that kind of saying that for once we're going to let you get into our pants, and that the pants do fit men very well.
As well as women, okay. So tell us in a nutshell how the it flows. What happens on Thursday night? Are you still having a kind of a street dance?
Yep. Every Thursday night we kick it off with a free street dance, and this year it's the bus driver tour. And they're from Missoula, right? They'll be there.
They're from Twin Bridges.
Twin Bridges.
Oh, great. That's the band.
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
And then Friday, the real lineup starts Saturday and Sunday, half a Sunday, right?
Music starts at 4 p.m. on Friday, I think.
Okay. Yep. And so, you know, just to let people know, who are some folks on the lineup this year?
Kat, I'll let you start.
Okay, sounds good. So we have Ian Tyson, Jason Isbell, Josh Ritter, who I'm just so excited to see. It's one of his music videos is just one of my favorites. J.D. McPherson, James McMurtry, Brandi Carlile, Charlie Pride, of course. People have been talking about him because he got his start playing in bars in Helena and Great Falls. Corb Lund will be back this year. Black Lilies, Red Molly, and am I forgetting? I'm totally forgetting people.
That's okay. There's so many people that you probably can't name them all. So
Holly Williams, also.
Okay.
Hank Williams' granddaughter. Is that right, Allie?
I believe so. Yes, she is related to Hank Williams somehow.
Cool. Wow. This is Another Words on Montana Public Radio. I'm Beth Judy, talking with Red Ants Pants Festival Operations Manager Allie Olson, on the line from Colorado, and Kat Healy, Festival Press and PR Director, on the phone from Billings. By the way, when people refer to Sarah in this interview, that's Sarah Calhoun, founder of the Red Ants Pants Company, Festival, and Foundation. On tonight's show, we're featuring music from Brandi Carlile, who will be at the Red Ants Pants Festival this summer. And here is Turpentine from her recording, The Story.
I'll watch you grow away from me in photographs. Memories like spies, and salt betrays my eyes again. I started losing sleep and gaining weight, and wishing I was 10 again, so I could be your friend again. These days we go to waste like wine, it's turned to turpentine, till it's 6 a.m. and now I'm all. Waste your time, so I fall back in line, but I'm warning you, we're growing up. I heard you found some pretty words to say, you found your little game to play, and there's no one allowed in. Then just when we believed we could be great, reality it permeates. Conquers from within again. These days we go to waste like wine. It's turned to turpentine till it's 6 a.m. and I'm all messed up. I didn't mean to waste your time, so I fall back in line. But I'm warning you, we're growing up. Oh.
Now let's just go back to you and tell us about yourselves a little bit. Let's start with Allie. You're talking to us from Colorado, but you're from Montana originally, isn't that right?
Yes, I'm from Great Falls.
Great. And did you go to college or grad school in Montana, and what'd you major in?
I did start out school in Bozeman, but transferred to Portland State University for undergrad. And after college, I moved back to Bozeman for a few years, And then went to grad school in here in Boulder, Colorado. So both my degrees were in business. My graduate degree is an MBA in entrepreneurship, which fits really well with Red Ants Pants because I get to see entrepreneurship in action.
Yeah. And why don't you tell us about, you said that you work for a small startup yourself. What is that? And it's your startup, right?
I did. Yeah. I recently started a company called IndieSo. And it's really geared towards women's handmade fashion. So we're an online marketplace for digital sewing patterns. And then there's a social network element where people can kind of collaborate in making their own fashion.
And were you inspired? Now, as I remember, you said that you did an internship with Red Ants Pants between college and graduate school. Is that right?
Yes. I actually had initially emailed Sarah kind of the spring before the second festival with interest in interning and helping her develop product because I've got lots of sewing experience and really wanted to learn how kind of idea and concept to reality happens in the fashion world. Even if it's not high fashion, it's still the same process, which she was very pumped about. And we had full plans to kind of jump into that role when I got there. And it's quickly was apparent when I came to White Sulphur that the festival needed kind of a lot more attention right away. So I stepped into the festival role, which turns out I was equally as passionate about as I love music, and I especially love live music. But in working with Sarah and understanding the pants design and the process of getting the fabric and sending it to factories and having, you know, keeping that all in the USA is especially something I'm very passionate about. So she definitely inspired me to kind of do my own thing and something that's very in line with my values.
And so were you able to stay after the festival and work also?
That first summer I was actually there from May until the end of the summer. So until about mid-August working with her. And then I went back to my second year of grad school and continued to work part-time all year with her and develop the new festival site. And then I came back the year after I graduated from grad school and stepped into the operations manager role. So both summers, the past two summers, I lived in White Sulphur for 2 or 3 months. This summer, still in the same role, operations manager, but not living in White Sulphur.
Okay. And so that just sounds like such a perfect fit. I mean, at some point, you know, when you can work on the clothes aspect, I'm not sure if that will happen or not, but I guess not, because you're doing your own thing.
Well, I do still very much work with Sarah very closely. It's definitely something we talk about all the time is product and new products. I developed the actual Red Ants Pants site, so we had a lot of time to talk about the next product they'll develop, which is going to be pretty cool. So while I don't have quite a hands-on role on the pants side as much as I do on the festival side, it's still very much something I'm involved in and I love it.
Yeah, and it's great that you guys have each other if you're in the same business. And Kat, tell us about you.
I'm from Billings. I went to school in Missoula, University of Montana. My background is actually I majored in psychology and double minored in Spanish and human and family development with
cool.
a research emphasis. So I thought I was really interested in pervasive developmental disorders and went and studied or took a summer at the Kennedy Krieger Institute with the CARD, which is Center of Research and Related Disorders, and decided that research was not something I was going to be able to do for the rest of my life. The day-to-day drudgery of data entry was just not as fun as I thought it was going to be. So then I thought I would do educational therapy. So I moved to Los Angeles to establish residency to go to grad school, because after 2 years you can go for in-state tuition. It made sense to me to save money and become a resident. And I was working as an educational therapist and finding it hard to tell parents who were older than I was who had children basically what they could be doing better. That didn't go very well for me. And so after I was there for 3 years and I established residency and I didn't exactly know what I wanted to do. And I came back to Montana for a vacation and ended up staying. And it's been
more than 3 years now, and I got back into doing press and PR for the 4 years that I was at University of Montana. I was in the University Relations Department. Like, we would handle the barrage of phone calls during, when I was there, it was, there were some scandals that were going on, and handling all of the, that aspect was really fun, and the events were always fun. I was the Easter Bunny on the Oval for Easter Extravaganza for a few of those years.
Now
and
we
I just
know.
Had a good time. Yeah, so I came back to Billings and started working for Red Ox, which is totally separate from Red Ants Pants, but it was also a Montana company. They manufacture quality luggage and outdoor adventure gear in Billings. I was doing their press and PR, and that is how I met Sarah. She came in to talk to Jim Markle, who's the owner, because they were friends. And I was just so inspired. I was like, I want to be involved. This sounds so neat. This is just great. Is there any kind of anywhere you can use me? What can I do to help? And so she drove back down from White Sulphur a few weeks after that, and we went out to Prairie Winds Cafe, which has live bluegrass and is now closed in Moult, Montana, which is just outside of Billings. But we just really struck it off, and she needed somebody to do press and PR. And she was like, we have this shoestring advertising marketing budget. What can we do? What should we do? And from there, that was 3 years ago, so this is my third festival, and been gaining momentum, and it's been a lot of fun. So
wow.
My background.
This is great how this has happened. And what do you actually do during the festival, or is it more like way before the festival starts?
Sure. It's a lot of stuff before the festival. And then when we're on site, last year we had KTVQ from Billings came up and did a live broadcast. And so we were running around getting that sorted and figured out. We also had Al Jazeera Network came in last year for a segment on rural America. And so they were, you know, they were there and on site, and we were doing a lot of trying to find people to do interviews and running back and forth, and also just the backstage press access and figuring out what needs to be done, what hasn't been done, artist interviews. there's always stuff going on.
Do you have some right-hand women or men that help you?
Well, Allie helps every. Allie is amazing. She's incredible. She's always there. We also have a huge volunteer base. So most of the festival staff is actually volunteer. So any of the people that are walking around with, last year they were yellow shirts with ants on them, but they're always ready, and they help out so much. This festival would not happen without them.
And then you also have to do press advance, right? I mean, in advance, getting the word out about the festival.
Yeah, so we try to do quite a few different press releases, and the local papers have been so awesome about that. They get excited about going to the festival, and then they're really fun to work with. So we do some lead-up things, hopefully getting them set up with artist interviews with people who are going to play the festival, and also just talking about previous festivals and things that have happened. Like last year, we had volunteers from Mozambique and Canada and Switzerland, and so there's a lot of lead up. We have a press release that goes out about the grant cycle opening and the timber skills, and then also the artist lineup. Of course, that is always a really big one. This year we had a packed shop. Every year we do a lineup release party in White Sulphur at the Red Ants Pants store, and we had a full house. There were people streaming it live, I think from more than 80 different places, and that kind of goes on, and so we try to get a lot of press and people excited about it.
So what happens at this wonderful party? Is like, are the names released one by one? And everyone claps, or what?
Well, this year we did it a little bit differently. So Sarah did the last year recap video to get people excited, which is great. And then we show music videos of each one of the performers as they're released. So we start with the side, or not the side stage, sorry, the street band performer, and then we work our way up to the headliner. And
oh, fun.
I think people really enjoy it, and we get a lot of, you know, we have Big Sky Brewing free beer, and it's great. So much fun.
Great. And Allie, I want to get back to you because you're operations manager, and you must, I can't imagine how much you have to do and what you do. Can you talk about your job?
Yeah, so as the operations manager, really involves a lot of overseeing the festival activities that happen at the festival. So vendors, volunteers, beverage, kids tent, VIP tent, demo area, ticket sales, merchandise. It is a lot of areas, but I have to say that we have such a stellar staff that it really, and this is in all honesty, makes the job pretty easy. If there's any big issues that come up, of course, that's kind of when I come into play. But everybody who has worked for the festival really is a repeat staff member. So some of them have been there from the very first year, and they all know their jobs in and out. Sarah and I have spent a lot of time kind of honing and really laying out expectations for every job so that people don't feel completely overwhelmed when they arrive Thursday night. So that really people really understand what they're supposed to be doing at the festival. So while it is covering a lot of kind of the areas of the festival, it really runs quite smoothly.
Wow. That is, you know, I have sensed that when I've been there, and that was part of why I wanted to talk to you, is like, how do you guys make that happen? So you lay out expectations. How many staff people are there?
Well, gosh, it changes every year. There, in total volunteers, there's 220. For the core kind of staff that are really Sarah's close family and friends and the people that come back every year, there's probably about 20 to 30. And these people are almost every single one of them is flying in, most of them. Some of them are local Montana. But she's got a lot of her friends from back east, and most of them are arriving on Thursday and leaving Monday morning. So they're really, and most of them honestly are unpaid. So they're just amazing people that are coming from so far away. Like Kat said, we had a few that have come from Mozambique that were friends of Sarah's. And ahead of time, they are caught up. So we're on emailing all of them a few weeks ahead, giving them job descriptions. So they're basically just getting a piece of paper saying, these are what you'll be covering, putting them in contact with the people that they'll be overseeing or key people that they'll need to contact in case, you know, X, Y, or Z happens at the festival, really hoping to set them up for success. And that was something that we started last year. We finally had gotten the festival to a point where we were able to do a lot of that pre-planning and not just kind of fly by the seat of our pants, and it paid off tenfold. We really actually, I would say that the entire festival staff really enjoyed their time, and nobody was collapsing from exhaustion at the end of the weekend.
That's amazing. That's very impressive. That's very impressive. Does the festival have goals, stated or unstated, official or unofficial? Because it feels like the Red Ants Pants Festival has a certain shape and flavor, and I just wondered about that.
Yeah, there's definitely, I mean, there's monetary goals and there's kind of logistical goals, I guess you could say. We definitely have kind of stated goals in those, you know, that Sarah kind of outlines every year for ticket sales and that sort of thing. We've done a great job of growing ticket sales every year and attendance. So those have been honestly not terribly hard to reach, which feels really good as a music festival. Sometimes that can be hard to grow attendance. But of course, every year there are goals to make the process smoother. And not all of those goals get reached, but I would say every year is a huge, huge improvement over the year before in terms of avoiding, you know, incidents that happened the year before, or, you know, just making sure that everyone's prepared. That has really helped us reach a lot of the goals in terms of throwing an event of this size off without a hitch.
Yeah.
I would also say there are some goals that we've kind of hit that may not have been completely intentional. So I know last year in 2013, the state came out with an economic study that said that 2.8 million would change hands during the festival weekend in White Sulphur Springs, which that's huge to us. Like we have local cafes who, you know, their best day in 35 years was last year's festival for them. Stuff like that is really, really fun to hear about, especially since I know that before I started working for Red Ants Pants, the only reason I knew about White Sulphur Springs was because of the springs. And a lot of people, either if they've heard of it, they've gone skiing, you know, or they have gone to the hot springs. But, you know, it wasn't a huge destination spot. And now it totally is, at least for the last weekend of July.
Yeah.
Fun place, so.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the town, actually, and kind of the impacts. I don't know, you may not have been there right at the beginning, but have you heard, or were you, have you heard what the town thought at first about this festival before they knew what it was going to be like?
Yeah, that's always kind of a big question that Sarah gets often, and the organization is how the, you know, the town perceived this huge event coming into the area. That is, honestly, it's a very sleepy little town. I can say, working, you know, from the second year on, the town has been unbelievably supportive. I've worked for a few other events where, you know, the police enforcement or other services provided by the city or the county were really reluctant to provide much help, or they were charging a lot of money even. The town of White Sulphur, every single person in that town comes out of the woodwork that weekend, and nobody asks for a single thing in return, which is just astonishing to me. I don't think there was a lot of resistance that Sarah received from the beginning, although, you know, she was an East Coaster coming into a small town of purely Montana natives. I think it didn't take her long to win over the community, that's for sure. I think within a couple of months, she knew pretty much everybody in White Sulphur. So that being said, she definitely has every single person in that town on her side. And a few people leave town that weekend to maybe rent out their house, or just they just don't like the crowds of people. But I would say the majority of the town stays. They come to the festival, and most of them are volunteering at the festival, which is pretty awesome to see.
Yeah. And how else are townspeople involved? I imagine that the person, the family that has the actual ground is quite involved.
Yeah, so that's kind of another example of how kind of philanthropic these townspeople are. The Jacksons, Jackson Ranches is where the event is held. And they generously let us, you know, move into the festival grounds a couple weeks beforehand in terms of starting to set up things. And it takes about, up to a week after the festival is over to finally get everything out of there. And they are all, the entire family and all of their friends are always at the festival. They're usually in the VIP tents, and they're definitely some of the funnest people there. And they are just incredibly kind and generous. They never, you know, put up a big fuss about the fact that we're bringing 10,000 people onto a piece of their land. So it's pretty remarkable.
Wow. Well, one thing I was wondering about when I asked about goals is there is such a feeling of welcome about this festival and kind of being hosted. You know, I mean, it's not like we're just going and paying and getting in and hearing some music. It's like you guys are, there's a sense that of pride and of like, wow, isn't this a great place? And, you know, welcome. And I wondered if that was actually a goal of the festival.
I know that we did.
Can't really answer that.
Sure. No. Yes. But I think it's probably a goal that we haven't really talked about, but it's understood that we want it to be different than other festivals people have attended. And the biggest compliment that I think I've ever heard someone say to me is, I've been to so many different concerts, from Coachella to, you know, every pick a song, everything, but Red Ants Pants is my favorite that I've ever been to. And that, to me, says a lot. It's different. It's it's kid friendly. I can't think of another concert that I would bring, you know, 12 and under to, and we have 12 and under are free, and that is our whole, you know, we want it to be a family event. We want there to be kids hanging out, listening to fun music, playing in the kids' tents, and I think there's a pretty big sense of community. I know that my favorite thing, I stay in the campground every year, and Red Lodge comes out, and they stake out an entire section, and everybody meets, and that is a fun campground to visit.
Do you mean they're all from Red Lodge, and they kind of just bring their town and camp together?
Yep, so they come in, and they stake up stuff, and some of the best music is actually in the campground after the festival, after 9 p.m., and they,
well, that's what I heard.
Yeah, and there is a quiet section also. So if you aren't into listening to music after 9 p.m., there's a quiet area. But it's so much fun to walk around and just see where people are coming from. And last year, my tent was next to somebody from New York. That was a kick in the pants. So it was just like,
yeah,
fun.
Yeah.
Have you ever wandered lonely through the woods? And everything that feels just as it should. You're part of a life there, you're part of something good. If you've ever wandered lonely through the woods. Ooh. If you've ever wandered lonely. Have you ever stared into a starry sky? Lying on your back, you're asking why? What's the purpose? I wonder who am I? If you've ever stared into a starry sky. Been out walking in the snow. Tried to get back where you were before. You always end up not knowing where to go. Have you ever been out walking in the snow?
Well, another thing that I think people wonder about when we're all, you know, laying around drinking beer and listening to music is, you know, what do the stars, let's call them the stars, what do the performers think about this? I mean, is it just another gig for them, or do you do anything special to welcome them, or do you hear any feedback about their, you know, what they think of the festival?
Yeah, that's such an interesting thing is, you know, inviting these huge names to literally a dusty cow pasture in Montana and kind of wondering, gosh, what will they think when they see that there's not a building for them to get ready in, that they're literally in tents. It's been so exciting to hear bands like Joy Kills Sorrow, some big names say unequivocally it was their favorite event they played all summer. And these are bands that are playing at events like Coachella and some bigger festivals in Europe. So that's without a doubt, it just fills your heart to hear that when you've been preparing for these people to come all summer long. It's definitely, a lot of them have will sit, you know, kind of there's a tent in the backstage where they can eat and it's catered and that sort of thing. By no means is it a plush hotel room. But most of them sit back there and they love to talk to the staff and they want to, you know about Montana and what it's like to live here and that sort of thing. And it really makes all the hard work worth it when you've been working so hard to bring the stars here and bring, you know, all the festival goers here, and everybody's got a smile on their face, including, you know, the heartless bastards. It's just, it's really fulfilling.
We also, the touches of Montana, even from their gift bag, we give out the gift baskets for performers, and everything in there is usually from Montana, made in Montana, from, you know, I think we did spirits from, did we do flasks, Allie, do you remember, for last year?
Well, we actually do an entire bottle of liquor from Headframe.
Nice.
We were throwing engraved flasks in there.
Nice.
A lot of Montana made type of things, which it's just one, it supports, you know, Montana businesses in getting the name out there, but they love that. They love, you know, tasting a bit of Headframe whiskey and just raving about, you know, the quality is amazing. So
great. And Do you have to hire people who, you know, quote, handle them, or do you guys do it yourselves?
We have a couple people who are part of our promotion team, Voodie, who do some of, like, the catering and that sort of thing. It's really just two people, husband, wife. But we really are the ambassadors of Red Ants Dance. So from the beginning, Sarah really wanted that to be personal. So Sarah is back there, you know, greeting all of them as much as she can. She definitely prefers to be out on the festival grounds. We do have one staff member who mans the backstage tent full time, and attends to anything that the talent needs. So yeah, they're definitely seeing a Red Ants Dance person at all time, but they have a few people behind the scenes that are helping make their stay comfortable.
And have I seen a helicopter arrive bringing some performers? Or was that just, you know, a rumor?
You would know what that was.
I don't think that the performers have come in on a helicopter, but we have had some flyovers for shots of the crowd. And I can talk with Sarah, but I think most of them come in with their tour buses, but I haven't seen them arrive by helicopter.
Yeah.
I would be really excited to see that, though.
That was probably just an idle rumor.
We did have Billy Joe Schaefer ride a horse around. Was it last year? Oh, man. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Or was it the second year? I get them confused. They're all kind of...
Can you tell us any other cool bits about, like, some performer that, you know, like, what happened when they came? I mean,
Robert Earl Keen, I believe it was Robert Earl Keen, decided to go for a bike ride before his performance around White Sulphur Springs, which, you know, the town folk thought that was awesome, which it was. And he cut it real close to his performance time and arriving back on festival grounds. I can't think of any other real exciting things as far as talent go, just beyond the fact that they all are amazingly warm and kind people.
Excellent. Excellent. You know, I was so impressed. I think it was last year. You said it's a dusty cow pasture, and it is. And it can be hot, too, just to let people know. And it can rain, right? You have to deal with weather. But what I was so impressed with last year was watching Donna the Buffalo, the band, perform in a complete dust storm. And just rocking away, you know, like they were kind of suffering, but they just kept going. It was very impressive.
Yeah, some of those conditions I don't think the performers have had to deal with before, but it's been great. It's Montana, so we have inclement weather occasionally. The last couple of years have been really great. They'll pause if there's something, you know, coming in, and then they'll come back out. I think there was one year. 2 years ago, there storm, but other than that, it's been, knock on wood, it's been fairly nice for as Montana summers can go.
Yes. So I always kind of like to ask questions like this, like, what are the funnest things about the festival for you, Kat?
Oh, let's see. Sunrise yoga. I love that. I don't know why. I'm, like, exhausted after a full day doing festival stuff. And then the morning is so gorgeous and you're there. And I think there were probably, like, 60 people. You know, some of them were wearing jeans and cowboy boots. Some of them had brought yoga stuff. That was really fun. Cattle Woman's Breakfast, always a good time. Run into people that you haven't seen in a while, who aren't from, you know, anywhere nearby anymore, but came in. That's really fun. The staff party after the festival, that's definitely, everyone is so relieved and excited, but worn out and exhausted. That's really a good time. I'm probably forgetting lots of things. Oh, we did a 2 a.m. Bareback horseback ride down White Sulphur. That's hit my books as one of my favorite experiences. A soak in the hot springs after the festival's over. Showers have never felt so good. Those, I think, are some of my favorite things.
And Allie?
Yeah, there's a lot. I definitely, by far the most valued memory or kind of feeling I have taken away from the festival is literally how much I love the people that work for the festival, that come to the festival. It is like your cup will be completely full when you leave, and just so much friendliness, so much goodwill, and authentic people, really like genuine, just a lot of goodwill being passed around the whole weekend. That's what gets me coming back every year, despite, like Kat said, the exhaustion. And the pure wanting to collapse at the end of the weekend, the people is what makes it worth it for sure.
All right. And then what are the worst things or the hardest things about the festival? Let's start with Allie.
Definitely the exhaustion. It is, for most of the staff, we are working about 7 straight days. If we've arrived, you know, a lot of the core staff have arrived the previous Thursday or Friday, usually at least 15 hours a day, probably more, in really hot, extreme conditions. So that's hard for sure. And the stress levels, I mean, I think with any event you throw, I don't know how you couldn't avoid high stress. So it makes the festival a kind of thing where you sleep for a few days after it's over. But without a doubt, it's worth every minute of the exhaustion.
Kat, do you have anything to add?
Sorry, I would say personal relationships suffer, because every year after it, I swear I'm not going to do it again, but I'm just joking, and I always do. But it's just there's so much going on and so much time to put something that's only 4 days. It only lasts 4 days, but it takes a year to plan. And I think it's rewarding for those 4 days, but there's a lot of hard work and a lot of late nights, and but it's worth it. It's totally worth it.
And are there any things that you look back on and just totally laugh at when you think back on them? Allie?
Oh my gosh. Kat will attest, we have so many inside jokes and fun memories. We have one especially awesome staff member who came on last year, and I hope he's with us until the day this festival quits going. And he's our porta potty coordinator, God bless his heart. And he had to deal with some unsavory situations in the campground last year, in the middle of the night, no less. And he had the biggest smile on his face the next morning, couldn't wait to tell us. And it was, you know, just hilarious things that people who have been at a festival drinking a lot do. And every time I think about Ryan, he puts a smile on my face. Just puts in perspective, really, our roles at the festival and how kind of we're all there to have a good time, and we're all serving people who are having a good time. So inevitably, some hilarious stories come up.
Well, you do have to be trained for, I mean, and be ready for all kinds of things, don't you? I mean, you have to be ready for serious stuff too, don't you?
Anytime you have 10,000 people, yeah.
We have a very extensive emergency response plan. So we have outlined any possibility of any, you know, disaster, emergency, anything. And we know exactly, every single staff member knows exactly what happens if something like that goes down.
Yeah. And do you know some of these stats? Do you know the volume of beer sold?
I think... Kat, it was like 94 kegs last year, I think.
and you already
could be wrong.
You already said. Go ahead.
No, that's just, it's a lot of beer. I think for our wrap up 2 years ago, we had kind of like strange stuff that we would mention. So, can you remember any more of those, Ali? It was, you know, 94 kegs of beer.
A lot of rolls of toilet paper. Thousands of rolls of toilet paper.
How many
oh, gosh, I wish I knew.
How many porta-potties are there?
I think we bring in about 150 porta-potties.
And do they have to come in from far and wide?
No. We have one company that supplies them all, actually, out of Helena, I believe. But they are serviced around the clock.
And you said that there were 220 volunteers about?
Yes.
And you've already said that it's been an estimated boost to the White Sulphur Springs economy of maybe $2.8 million. Is that right?
Yep. The economic survey thought that there was an estimated $2.8 million would change hands during that weekend.
Wow. And does that include the festival money?
It does.
Okay. And we were talking about this a little bit before. Generally, I used to work actually for a company that put on concerts and was amazed at how much, you know, you have to pay performers, and rightly so, they're so talented, et cetera. But it's quite an expense. And then, I mean, how does the festival do financially, generally?
It's very slim margins, for sure. Throwing music festivals is definitely not a lucrative thing at all. And it's a huge risk every year. Because we have to book the talent before we can sell the tickets, obviously. So we've been really lucky, and then we have made, you know, a little bit of money every year, and that's what has, you know, allowed us to continue on. But the margins are very slim.
Yeah. And the money to remind people goes to a foundation, isn't that correct?
Right. So each year we give out more in grants, and so as the festival grows, hopefully we can give out, you know, even more each year.
Yeah, and it's a foundation that supports what?
Ali, do you want to do it? Or do you want me?
Yeah. Okay, I've got the foundation page here pulled up.
Perfect.
It's really kind of what all of these three entities of Red Ant Dance kind of embody, but it really fosters strength and self-reliance in women. Specifically in rural agricultural communities. So certain, I guess, examples of where grant dollars have gone before are CSA farms, women-owned CSA farms that are trying to, you know, acquire different equipment, a woman-owned woodworking shop, but not always just women-owned. It could be, you know, agricultural, definitely the values of Red Ant Dance.
All of those grant recipients have to fall within the mission and values of the foundation. So the core ones are, like Ali said, to develop and expand leadership roles for women, but also to preserve and support working family farms and ranches and enrich and promote rural communities.
Do you know how many grants have been given out?
Were there 15 last year? 10 or 15
last
year?
Yeah, so last year we gave 16,000. Dollars away in grants.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. And so tell us about your website, just if people want to get more information about the foundation, if they want to find out about the festival or find out about Red Ant Pants Company, where do they go?
Sure. For the festival, you'll go to redantspantsmusicfestival.com. And there you can see the whole lineup, the schedule, buy tickets, get information on camping and that sort of thing. If you want to volunteer, also, that's a great place to sign up. If you want to learn more about the foundation, you can visit redantspantsfoundation.org. There you can kind of read more about the foundation, learn about upcoming timber skills workshops, and even some women's leadership workshops that will be happening. And to learn more about the original company, redantspants.com, you can visit that website. You can certainly buy the pants and a whole lot of other Red Ants Pants gear. But that site also has a lot of information about kind of how the company started. You really get a good feel of who Sarah is and what Red Ants Pants is.
So we're talking about Sarah Calhoun, and there's also a TED Talk, right, online that she did about the festival?
Yep, there are two TED Talks. One is about the actual Red Ants Pants, the company, and then the other one was from TEDx Whitefish, and that is about the festival.
So you can search for those and enjoy those. Give us the dates of the festival again.
July 24th through the 27th.
Okay, all right. And do you recommend any, where can people stay if they don't want to camp? Just, is there any place to stay anymore in White Sulphur Springs, do you imagine? What do you recommend to people?
Yeah, unfortunately, lodging in White Sulphur Springs is really limited. So if you haven't already secured a hotel room or a house to rent in White Sulphur, the pickings are pretty slim. But there are lots of local hotels within about a 50-mile radius. So if you check out redantspantsmusicfestival.com, under festival info, there will be a camping and lodging tab. And there's a lot of lists of campgrounds, other local hotels, other kind of places you should look into renting. But in all honesty, camping is probably your most, the best bet on securing a place to stay. Because our campgrounds are huge, we definitely can accommodate everyone who pulls up.
And it's really fun. Well, I've been speaking with Kat Healy, who does press and PR for the Red Ants Pants Festival, and Allie Olson, operations manager for the festival. And I wish you a wonderful, wonderful festival, fourth annual festival this year. And I really appreciate your taking the time to talk with us.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us on.
All right.
You've been listening to In Other Words. Join us again next Tuesday night at 10:30. Thanks for help with this show. Go to sound engineer extraordinaire Beth Ann Osteen, also to Rockin' Rudy's and Amy Martin. We heard Have You Ever from Brandi Carlile's The Story earlier, and we'll go out with Hard Way Home from her recording Bear Creek. Thanks for listening tonight. I'm Beth Judy. Good night.
Don't know what I wanna be when I grow up. I just count the rain, wearing the floor to the boards again. I wish I could find a soul to steal. I could be the engine and you could be the wheel. And we could drive it home and never have to worry about being alone. Ooh, I follow my tracks. See all the times I should've turned back. Ooh, I wept alone. I know what it means to be on my own. I'll just lie and burn, wreck my mind while the planet turns. Sometimes I wish I could start again, try and do the right thing every now and then. I'd step in line, that's what I'd do if I could turn back time. Ooh, I follow my track, see all the times I should have turned back. Ooh, I wept alone, I know what it means to be on my own. Taking the hard way home. Ooh, the seeds I've sown, taking. forget about the gift. I wanna leave this town, fake my death and never be found. Ooh, I fall on my track, see all the times I should've turned back. Ooh, I wept alone, I know what it means to be on my own. Ooh, the things I've known, looks like I'm taking the hard way home. Ooh, the seeds I've sown, taking the hard way home, taking the hard way home. Taking the hard way home, taking the hard way home.